Luke chapter 2. You got to Luke chapter 2, if you will turn and go down then to verse 41. Okay, Luke 2, picking up at verse 41, and it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." For our thoughts tonight, I want us to be very careful not to lose track of Jesus. Because if his own parents lost track of him physically, how apt are we as believers to leave Jesus behind and lose Jesus spiritually? It's really easy to do, I think. I think we constantly need to be reminded not to lose Jesus, not to leave him behind, because we get so busy and we're so easily distracted by other people or by other things that are competing for our attention, especially in a busy time like this. So when I'm talking about being careful not to leave Jesus behind, not to lose Jesus, I'm talking about his spiritual manifest presence, the felt presence of Jesus in our lives. That's something that we have to demand and take nothing less than that. And so we turn to Luke 2 for our thoughts tonight. I want to share something with you about this after we pray. Heavenly Father, it's good for us to be here tonight. And I thank you that we have the opportunity to be here and to come together as brothers and sisters and unite our hearts together before the throne and open our Bibles together and let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. And so I pray that you would give receptive hearts and that you would have each one of us receive tonight from the Scripture what it is you want to say to your church. Thank you for Jesus. Oh, help us to be sensitive to his presence in our life, that we would not allow anything to distract us, that we would not desire to lose track of him as his parents physically did. Lord, we pray for our spiritual lives to know the presence of the Lord each day, maybe a daily thing. We'll thank you for it as we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. So I want to look at this passage, and I want to use the fact that they literally lost Jesus in a physical sense, but I want to make an application to us. How is Jesus lost to you? How is Jesus lost to you? How is he left behind? Well, I just read the first three verses, 41, 42, and 43 that we want to look at tonight. And you can take those three verses and you can sum them up with one word. How is Jesus lost to you? Through routine. It's something that they did annually. Annually, they went up to celebrate this feast. It was routine to them. And the way that they did it, as they went up to Jerusalem in groups, in family groups, in clans, in village groups, it's something that they did routinely each year. In fact, if you know the Scriptures, you know that Jewish men were required to make a trip to Jerusalem three times a year. which makes this even more routine. Here's my point. If you don't want to lose Jesus and leave him behind, be careful to not let your walk with the Lord become routine. Don't allow it to simply be something that you do by habit without meaning. Oh, I know when I get up, I need to read my Bible. And so we do it out of habit and we don't get anything out of it. It becomes routine. Here's another thing in those three verses that we've already read. It was the feast that they were going to celebrate in Jerusalem. And feasting is a time of festivity. So it's not only that Jesus is lost through routine, but sometimes he's lost right in the midst of rejoicing. During a time of celebration and great festivity that pertained to him. That's what's so ironic. It pertained, the festivity was pertaining to Jesus himself. Well, how many hundreds, thousands of years have Jewish people celebrated all their festivals in which Jesus is really the centerpiece of, and they never see him? But you know, that can happen to people that have a relationship with Jesus, that know him. We can be involved in the things of the Lord. We can be rejoicing in all of the activities and the celebrations that go along with being a believer in Jesus, and yet we can lose him. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What did you rejoice in today? What did we rejoice in today? What brought us joy today? Were we rejoicing in the Lord? Or that fat check that came through the mail that we were looking for or whatever? You can lose the Lord even in a time of rejoicing. Look at verse 44 of Luke 2. But they, that is Jesus's parents, Mary and Joseph, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. How is Jesus lost to you? Just as he is lost to them. You can lose Jesus in relationships, because you can replace fellowship with Jesus by fellowship with other people, good people, believing people, by being with and spending time with family and friends. Here we are in this time of celebration, time of joy, right? A time for family and friends to spend time together. It's a prime time to lose Jesus. I remember struggling as a young man, struggling with celebrations like Christmas and Thanksgiving, because it was a family time, and it took me away from my time with the Lord, because I felt pressured that I wanted to spend time with my family members that I didn't see every day. We got together and at that time. And so I felt pulled toward them and away from the Lord, and that bothered me. But this is how easy it is to lose Jesus, to replace fellowship with Jesus by being with and spending time with family and friends. And that's all fine and good, but not if it takes us away from Jesus. And then again, verse 44, notice the word supposing. But they supposing him to have been in their company. They reasoned. They thought that Jesus was among the group all along. They assumed his presence based upon their fellowship with the people that were in their group. And you know, sometimes we think that way. We think that we assume the presence of the Lord based upon our fellowship with his people, and we don't have a real personal connection with Jesus. And there is no substitute for that. Not even fellowship of God's people substitutes for that. And then drop down with me. They go back to Jerusalem. In fact, a three-day journey. Rather, 3 days till they find him. A day journey back. And then 3 whole days till they found him. Verse 45. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both, that is, the doctors of Jewish law, and both hearing and asking questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they, that is his parents, when Jesus' parents saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto the son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not, didn't you know, that I must be about my father's business? There's a remoteness here. They had a personal relationship with Jesus. He was their son. But they certainly weren't in tune with his thinking. And I think that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus and not be on the same page with him spiritually. You can be ignorant of Jesus' heart desires and his purposes. His parents were, and you and I can. That's how Jesus is lost to us. There's this remoteness between us and him. We're not on the same page spiritually. We have different purposes. We have different desires than the Lord has. So how is Jesus lost to you? Through routine, even in a time of rejoicing, by replacing people relationships with a real relationship with him, by reasoning, just assuming his presence based upon all of God's people that you're in contact and connected with, and by being remote, that is, being connected with Jesus by salvation, but really spiritually being ignorant of Jesus' heart desire and his purpose. Okay, so if that's how Jesus is lost to you, how is he not lost to you? That's what I want to look at now. How do you deal with all of these? How is Jesus not lost to you? 5 F's. Number one, feed. Feed. Here's what I mean by that. Constantly feed the flame. Fuel the fire. Psalm 1 says that the blessed man is a person that delights himself day and night in the word of God. That person is pictured as a flourishing, budding, fruitful tree planted by rivers of water. Feed the flame. Fuel the fire. By that I mean, delight yourself in the word of God. Listen to me. Delight yourself in the word of God until the God of the word is your delight. Don't try to live on yesterday's fuel, on yesterday's fire in your soul. Seek the reality of Jesus' presence daily. Ask the Lord Jesus to breathe on you anew, and always seek his life to be refreshing you. So feed. The second F is find. That is, Jesus is always found in association with the word of God. What do you think he was talking about in the temple for those days that he was lost to his parents? He was discussing the word of God with these Jewish leaders, religious leaders. You'll always find Jesus in association with the Bible. You'll always find Jesus in his father's house. You'll always find Jesus busy about his father's business. That's where they found him in verse 46. After 3 days of seeking and searching, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. You won't find Jesus by mere ritual observance of a Christian life, but only through an experiential, a personal connection with him. You'll find him in association with this book, not outside of it. And then focus is the third way that Jesus isn't lost to you. Feed, find, and focus. That is, ask Jesus to make you and keep you thirsty for him, hungry for his presence. Don't ever let Jesus out of your sight. Don't settle for not seeing his glory. Paul says it in Colossians 3, that if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affections, your mind, your thinking on things above, not on things of this earth. Focus. Another F is fact. Don't rely on supposition, supposing that he's with you, supposing that he's there. Don't rely on assumption and think you're okay because you have human fellowship with God's people. Be certain that you know the personal presence of and personal fellowship with Jesus. Stay with Jesus in partnership with him to do the Father's business. Live in Jesus's presence. In fact, whenever my computer fires up, the first thing that I see when it focuses is live in God's presence. That's a constant reminder that I have. And then the fifth and final thing is feel. What I mean by that is have a desire for a personal, felt presence of Jesus with you. Don't settle for anything less than the spiritual manifestation of the presence of Jesus daily in your life. What does that mean? What does that feel like? What does that look like? There's a hymn. You don't sing it much. But the words, I want you to listen to the words because this really explains what that means. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim. Its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. You know the story of the prodigal son, don't you? You remember when that runaway kid, when he made his way back home? When he got within the sight of the father, what does the father do? The father runs to meet him. And when he gets to him, the father throws his arms around his son and hugs him to his chest and kisses him. That's the picture. The fact of the matter is, like the father in the story of the prodigal son, if you or I take one step toward Jesus, Jesus will run toward you. He'll throw his arms around you and he'll kiss you. In fact, James 4 and verse 8 says, here's the promise. Draw nigh to me, and I will draw near unto you.